You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
We are continuing and wrapping up our Grateful series. We've been talking about gratitude because this is about a lifestyle. Gratitude is about the condition of your heart. This is not just about one day of the year on the calendar. This is about cultivating a life of gratitude. And so here's the idea behind this series. We've been saying that a great life is not a destination. A lot of times we tend to think of a great life that way. Like, my life will be great when I meet the perfect person. Or my life will be great when I get my dream job, or I get that promotion, or I have this much money in the bank, or I can finally retire, whatever. We tend to think of a great life as this destination we're going to get to and things are going to be wonderful. But the truth is, a great life, having a great life, isn't so much about a destination as it is about the condition of your heart. It's about who you are. It's about who you're becoming on the journey. Because grateful is something you become. It's not a destination that you arrive at. And so we purposely created this word grateful because we want to connect the idea of having a great life with the ability to cultivate gratitude in your soul, in your heart. And so for the purpose of this series, we've defined gratitude this way. We said gratitude is the perception of the good in life. It's how you see goodness in your life. And in this series, we're talking about something that God wants to do in us. I believe this is a gift that God wants to give his people. He wants to give us a divine perception change. He wants us to see things differently so that we can be different people. We can experience life. We can have a great life because we're filled with gratitude. Now, speaking of perception, I'm standing up here today wearing glasses. I wear glasses on Sunday morning because I think they make me look more pastoral and a little bit smarter, and my IQ just goes up a couple notches. Thank you very much when I wear them. I pretty much wear contacts during the week, but I wear my glasses on the weekends. And you know, my eyes are really bad. I mean, you take these glasses, I'm blind as a bat. You would be leading me around by the hand if I took my glasses off. And I've been wearing glasses, I think, since the fifth grade, and I've got a really bad prescription. And thank God glasses have gotten like thinner and sleeker and hipper over the years, because my glasses were so thick in junior high, I could see into the future. I mean, really. So I'm glad that, you know, glasses are a lot more fashionable these days. But here's the thing. My glasses are technically corrective lenses, right? They're corrective lenses because what do? They take the light and they correct it and adjust it to the proper prescription so that I can see, because I'm really nearsighted. And that's what they do. They are corrective lenses. See, here's the thing, guys. How you see things, the way you perceive life, makes such a difference. It makes a huge difference in how you experience life. If I were to take these glasses off, my life would become limited quickly. There are things literally that I cannot do without glasses, legally that I cannot do. I cannot operate a motor vehicle without glasses or contacts. You wouldn't want me to operate a motor vehicle. You wouldn't want to be on the road next to me without my glasses on. I couldn't sit up in those seats and watch a movie and enjoy it without my glasses on. So literally, when my perception is corrected, I'm able to enjoy life. I'm able to experience life in a greater way. And that's the idea behind this series, and really correcting our perception, having a perception that's shaped by gratitude. Now, I want to give you this quote that I gave you in week one. I want to revisit this quote. It's from Pastor Phil Munsey. I heard this years ago at a conference, and it stuck with me. He said, "Your heart is your lens by which you receive and perceive. You don't always get in life what you want. You get what you are." Think about that for just a moment. You don't always get in life what you want, but you always get what or who you are. How many of you have discovered that you don't always get what you want in life? Anybody discovered that? We got some people here who have some years of wisdom under their belt. You can help some of the younger people in the audience here today, and you can say, you know, life doesn't always turn out the way you draw it up. Not trying to be negative this morning, but that's just reality. That's real life. Sometimes life throws you a curveball. Sometimes life turns out different than you thought it was going to be. But here's what you always get in life. You always get who you become in the journey. You always get the person that you become in the journey. And this is why gratitude is so important, because adjusting your perception, allowing gratitude to correct and to shape your perception, can change your life. You can live a different life. You can have a full and blessed life if you can get a hold of this truth. So today I want to give you three principles that will help you develop a grateful perspective. Just some practical things based in God's word. I want to invite you to take some notes. When you came in today, you should should receive some note sheets. You can find those. Take them out. Maybe you want to take some notes on your phone, but write some of these things down. We're going to talk about ways that we can develop, that we can cultivate a grateful perspective. Are you ready to go? All right, here we go. Number one, give thanks for the little things. Somebody say the little things. If you're going to have a grateful perspective, if you want to develop a grateful perspective, you got to give thanks for the little things. The Apostle Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. He says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything. Somebody say everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, give thanks for everything. You got to give thanks for even the little things. Can I tell you the truth this morning? This morning you got here and you experienced 100 little blessings this morning that you probably haven't even stopped to think about yet. Things that you took for granted that are actually little things, but they're great blessings. Like this morning, most of you, I assume you slept in a warm bed last night in a heated home because it's cold outside. Thank God you didn't sleep on the sidewalk like some people did last night. You had a roof over your head and you got up and you took a warm shower. Huh? Come on. You took a warm shower and you got a cup of coffee. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for some coffee. Some of you wouldn't even be functioning. You wouldn't even be here today if you didn't have your cup of coffee. You got some coffee or you got some clean water to drink that was easy for you to drink. And you got some breakfast. There was no problem finding food. It was abundant. You went to the cupboard. You had something. And then you went to your closet to pick out an outfit. And you had a bunch of things to choose from. You already hit that Black Friday sale. Come on. And you got some new clothes in your closet. And so you pick something out nice today. You're rocking your new outfit, looking good. Yes, we've noticed. You look great. And then some of you got in a vehicle and you had two cars to choose from in your garage or in your driveway and you drove here. Are you tracking with me this morning, church? You already experienced 100 little blessings that many people would die to have, would long to have in other parts of the world, even right here in New York. And you didn't even stop to think about them. I'm not guilt tripping you. What I'm trying to help you see is you have great blessings in your life. And then there's all the additional stuff. There's the everyday little blessings like that beautiful sunset that you witnessed when you got up for work in the morning, or that nice meal that you sat down to. Come on, a lot of us sat down to a beautiful meal this past week at Thanksgiving with family and friends. And some of you married men, like your wife just looks 10 years younger than you. You ought to thank God that she looks that good. Just the little things in life. Come on, Jesus. Your wife's like, amen, she's nudging you. Yeah. I mean, really, how'd you even get a girl like that, man? You ought to give thanks. It's the little things that should be filling your heart. And you know what? We need to reclaim the ability to live with a sense of wonder. To live with a sense of wonder. I was talking with somebody this morning. There's a movie right now out about wonder. I haven't seen it yet. But we need to reclaim this ability to live with a divine sense of wonder. The famous British poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning said this. She wrote this, these famous words. Earth's crammed with heaven, in every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries. I love that quote because here's what Elizabeth Barrett Browning was reminding us, that God's presence and his beauty is in every direction. Earth is crammed with heaven, but it's only the person who stops to perceive it and see it, who has a moment with God, has this encounter with God, but it's all around us. The truth is the blessings of God, the goodness of God are all around us. We're just often so busy going through our life, going through our grind, going through our routine that we don't even stop to see the goodness of God in 100 different little ways. But I don't know about you. I want to reclaim that ability to have those moments with God. And every now and then you have them, don't you? I mean, you ever get out and take a hike and you just get out in the beauty of nature, you know, coming off the fall and the changing of the colors of the leaves. And you just have a divine moment with God. Have you been there before? Or maybe you went out west and saw the Rocky Mountains, or you just had a moment like that. And here's the thing, guys, we got to cultivate this ability to have more moments like that on a regular basis in our daily lives. You know, one of the things that I love about kids is kids haven't lost this ability to live with wonder. I have three boys at home, 11, 6, and 3. And what I love about kids is they have this ability to wonder. This past week, we got on a plane. We flew down to New Orleans to see our family for Thanksgiving. And my son, Michael, he was my buddy. He was my partner this week. We sat together, and the other boys sat next to mom. And Michael called the window every time. Dad, I call window. He wanted the window, and he wanted to look out the window. And my kids have flown before, but kids just have this ability to wonder. And he stared out the window, and he looked at the ocean, and he pointed things out. You know, I would have sat in that plane and maybe looked out the window some, but really taken that for granted. The other night we were driving and it was a beautiful starry night. You know, sometimes you got to get away from New York City to be able to see the lights at night. And my oldest son Aaron was just pointing out like constellations and different stars. And I wouldn't have even stopped to think about it. But kids live with this ability to wonder. And it's interesting that Jesus said his followers have to become like children to follow him. He talked about childlike faith. And maybe, just maybe, it's because kids have this ability to wonder. But see, here's the thing. When you give thanks for the little things, your capacity for gratitude grows exponentially because our lives consist of the little things. In fact, the little things are really the big things because your life is made up of the little, ordinary, everyday things. And a lot of times people, you know, they give thanks for the big, exciting things that happen in life, a job promotion, a new car, or whatever. And maybe sometimes we feel that way, like, I'll be grateful when I finally get to this certain place, when I'm finally able to achieve this or buy this or whatever. I'll be grateful then. But here's the thing. If you wait till then, you'll never develop gratitude because we don't live our lives in the big moments. How many of you have found that out? We love the big moments, but you don't live your life in the big moments. You live your life in the everyday, mundane little moments, don't you? Do you see how powerful this is? And so if you can cultivate gratitude in the little everyday things, then your gratitude can grow exponentially. It's like working out your gratitude muscle. It's something you got to do daily. It will expand your capacity. Some of you in here, I know you go to the gym. You're into fitness. I can tell. You're looking good. We've noticed. We're glad you're working out. I'm very proud to pastor a good-looking church like this. Yes, you should look around and just smile. We're a good-looking congregation. But here's the thing. When you joined the gym, you didn't expect to be buff and like shredded and ripped on day one, did you? Because if you did, you went and got your money back, right? Because you know it's something you got to work at. You got to go like on a regular basis, a daily basis to develop your muscles, to develop that capacity. And let me just suggest to you this morning, church, like gratitude is like a muscle. It can be developed, but you got to do it on a regular basis. You got to pay attention to the little, ordinary, everyday little things. And if you can develop it that way, you'll be surprised. Over time, it can grow exponentially. And so you got to give thanks for the little things. Now, let me give you something you can do to put this into practice. I want to encourage you when you get up in the morning, do what I just did with you a moment ago. I took you through a little exercise of giving thanks for all the things that you have, simple things. Do you know I've learned to do that? I've learned to do that on a regular basis. Hopefully, you spend some time in prayer. Hopefully, you spend some devotional time daily. I want to encourage you. This is something you can do so easily. Just add this to your prayer time. Sometimes we rush off and all we do is ask for all of our needs. There's nothing wrong with that, but you got to give thanks. And so you can just start the day by doing exactly what I just said today. God, thank you. You know, thank you for the clothes on my back. God, thank you for this breakfast I got this morning. God, thank you that my car runs and it's in good condition. Thank you for the job that I'm going to, that I have a job to pay my bills. Just watch what it does to your heart. Watch what it does to your perception. You know what you'll find out? You'll begin to see God's blessings all throughout your day. Things that you've walked past every day that you didn't even realize were a blessing in your life. You'll begin to see how earth is crammed with heaven, and there's all these little beautiful moments because you know what you're doing? You're enlarging your capacity. You're strengthening your gratitude muscle. I want to encourage you to do that. I do that with my kids sometimes. Sometimes they're sitting down eating their waffles in the morning, and I tell the boys, you know, you can give God thanks for this day. You can thank him for these waffles. You can thank him for the drink and the food you have because I want to train them to have hearts of gratitude. Okay, here's the second thing. We're talking about developing a grateful perspective. Here's the second thing you can do. Focus on what you have instead of what you don't have. It's a simple thing, but it's powerful. You got to learn to focus on what you have instead of what you don't have. The Apostle Paul wrote this to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Those two things, godliness with a spirit of contentment is great gain. The New Living Translation puts it this way. True godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. I love that. Is itself great wealth. Let me give you the paraphrase. Here's what the scripture is basically saying. Paul's saying, if you live a godly life, if you live in harmony with God and you live according to his principles, and you can add to that a spirit of contentment for the blessings and things that you have in life, you're going to be way ahead of most people. If you can live like that, you've already got great wealth. You're wealthier than most people. It's a little secret nugget of wisdom, but it's so powerful. And so let me just encourage you this morning. Be grateful for God's blessings. Be thankful for the things that you have instead of fixating on the things that you don't have. And if you're not sure where to start, let me give you a place to start. Start thanking God for the people you have in your life. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your friends. Thank God for your church family. Some of you may not have a whole lot of money, but you're rich in relationships, and that's valuable. Do you know there's a lot of wealthy people who are lonely, don't have anybody to share their life with? They got all this money, and they've got nobody. Don't underestimate the value value that you have just sitting next to you that you have in relationships. I don't know about you, but I'm somebody, I want to be rich in relationships. Just begin to thank God for the things that you already have. Now, I think this is really challenging for us because we live in a culture that in 1,000 different ways tells us that what we have is not good enough. I mean, we live in a world where we're marketed to, right? Especially this time of year, we're coming off of Black Friday. We're heading into the holiday shopping season. Like, we're about to be inundated, right, with a barrage of marketing and sales. And in 1,000 different ways, the marketing world is telling you what you have is not good enough. You got last year's model. You got to get in style. You got to get with the program, right? Like, you need to drive this kind of car to be satisfied. You need to make this kind of money and live this kind of lifestyle and have this kind of body, and then you'll be happy. And so you run around trying to fill your life with all these things. And what can happen is because we're like living and swimming and like breathing in this heavily marketed culture without realizing it, we begin to have this sense of dissatisfaction with what we have. And we start looking at ourselves feeling like what we have is not good enough. And then we get competitive. We start looking at other people, comparing ourselves to other people. And then it really just gets like multiplied. And so we got to go out and get something else to be satisfied. But can I tell you the truth this morning, church? More acquisitions will not lead to more contentment. More acquisitions will not lead to more contentment. You can't buy contentment. I have a friend that I went to college with in Texas, and we were pretty good friends. We were roommates in college for a while, and we talked maybe once or twice a year these days. And he's a pretty successful financial advisor, and he was kind of one of these guys. I knew he was going to be a success back in our college days, but you know, he's all about money. And every time we talk, I mean, it doesn't take long before the conversation gets to this place where he tells me, you know, Jeremy, when I can buy my next house, then I'm going to be set. You know, when I can get my next boat, I'm going to be set. When I finally have this much money, I'll be set. I'll be chilling. I won't be worried about anything. But here's the thing that I've noticed with him. There's always one more thing. Happiness and satisfaction is always elusive with him. Every time I talk to him, it doesn't matter. The conversation always turns back to, if I just get this one more thing, then I'm going to be satisfied. Now, listen to me this morning. I'm not saying that you can't have some nice things. This isn't a legalistic church, okay? I'm not saying you can't enjoy some things. I'm not saying you can't buy some nice gifts for at Christmas time or whatever. I'm not saying that you know, some of the nice things that you have may very well be the blessing of God in your life. But the point is that more acquisitions will not lead to satisfaction. A great life cannot be bought. Satisfaction cannot be bought. You'll find that it's elusive because there's always one more thing, isn't there? Always. You know, I've been to third world countries. I've been to countries where people had next to nothing. They had very little, and yet they were content. I remember doing a medical mission trip down to Honduras a few years ago. We served a lot of really underserved poor people. And to be honest with you, many of them, they were content. They were happy people. And not only were they content, but they were actually generous. They would offer you what little they had. They would share with you. And why is that? We would look at that and say, how can that be? Like, we live in America, and we have so much, you know, so many nice things. We have such a high standard of living, and yet we often find ourselves so discontent, and people aren't really generous with what they have. Like, how could those people, what do they know that we don't know? And here's what they know. Their fixation is on what they have, not on what they don't have. And it may be little, but they're thankful for the little that they have. Their hearts are full, even with the little they have, and full enough to the point that they'll actually offer to share it with somebody else. It's a spirit of contentment. You see, having a scarcity mindset versus an abundant mindset often has very little to do with money. How many of you know that? There are people who have money who still live with a scarcity mindset. And there are people who don't have money who live with an abundant mindset. They're generous. They're not worried about those things. It has actually very little to do. You can have money or not have money, but it really has to do with your heart, the condition of your heart. You know, my dad, he used to always say, we're the richest people. We're the richest people in town, son. We would sit down to a Sunday lunch. That was our tradition. After church, we always had a Sunday meal together. If we didn't have a meal together any other time during the week, we always had a meal together on Sunday afternoon after church. And my dad used to always say, nobody's eating better than us today. We're eating like kings today. We're the richest people in town. And here's the truth. My parents didn't have a whole lot of money. My dad's a pastor. There was a lot of years where the money was very lean, very thin. But what did my dad know? My dad knew that godliness with contentment is great gain. He knew that if you have God, if you have your salvation in Jesus Christ, if you have the presence of God in your life and you're walking with him, if you have the goodness of God in your life and you have the things you need, you have good food, you have a roof over your head, he understood that to have that is to be way past most people in life. It's to have great wealth, great gain. And he lived that way. He lived that way. Some people have plenty, but they really can't even enjoy it because they're so fixated on what they don't have. And vice versa. There are some people who don't have much who are fixated on what they don't have either. But it works both ways. And so what do? I'm going to tell you, gratitude is the antidote. Gratitude is the antidote to lust, into materialism, into consumerism, into a spirit that says, I always have to have more to be satisfied. Gratitude will set you free from the never-ending cycle of having to chase after elusive satisfaction in the form of just more stuff. Once again, I'm not saying there's not joy in buying a gift, or maybe you don't have you do have some legitimate need in your life. There's something that you really need. I'm not dismissing those things, but I'm talking about the condition of your heart. Can you really get focused on the blessings that you already have in life? How would it change things if your focus would shift from what you don't have, comparing yourself to everybody else, to focusing on the blessings that you already have? Because I think it's a battle that we fight on a regular basis. We're constantly being tempted to look at others and to compare ourselves and to feel like what we have is not enough. But what if you looked around at what God has already given you and begin to give thanks for it? How would that change your perspective? You're going to develop a grateful perspective. You got to start giving thanks for what you have and not fixating on what you don't have. Is this good? Is this helping anybody? All right, number three. Here's the third thing. We're talking about developing a grateful perspective, cultivating a grateful perspective. Here's the third thing. Practice gratitude in all circumstances. Somebody say all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul says this, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I love this verse. What if we could just put this verse into practice? Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. How simple is that, yet powerful? You know what this verse in the original Greek, you know the New Testament was written in Greek? Let me tell you what this verse says in the original Greek. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Some things are just straightforward, guys. This is just straightforward, just wisdom from the Bible. And it says all circumstances. Don't pick the circumstances you want, but you gotta give thanks in the midst of all of it. See, here's the thing. Let me help you understand this first of all, okay? You don't have to thank God for every circumstance, but you can thank God in every circumstance. There's a big difference there. You don't have to give thanks for every circumstance. In other words, there are some people who have this kind of feigned spirituality where they're putting on a spiritual facade and they have to, you know, they're acting like they're really spiritual. And so they're going to give thanks for everything. Like, God, I thank you so much that I lost my job and I'm not sure how I'm going to pay my bills. Like, I'm really up a creek. I'm in trouble. But God, I thank you so much. This is so great. This is wonderful. God, I thank you for the flu because I love being flat on my back. This is wonderful. God, I thank you that my child is throwing a temper tantrum in the grocery store and I'm about to commit child abuse and I'm going to be locked up. This is, God, I thank you. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, that's feigned spirituality. And I've talked to some Christians who actually think they're being spiritual by, like, you know, they can never acknowledge that they have a problem. Like, they, you know, well, I'm sick, but praise God, I'm healed. Listen, you can admit when things are bad. It's okay to say sometimes life stinks. If your situation sucks, it's okay to say it. I'm not saying camp out there. What I'm saying, though, is you can give thanks in the midst of the circumstances. So it looks like this. God, I'm going through some stuff right now, but God, I thank you that you're faithful. God, I thank you that you're with me. God, I'm holding on to your promises that you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. God, I'm going to remember all the times you brought me through something like this, and you didn't give up on me then, and you're not going to give up on me now. God, I'm going through it right now. I could use some help over here, but I thank you that you're faithful. You see the difference? It's being real with God. It's being authentic. You don't have to give thanks for, but you can give thanks in the midst of it, in all circumstances. Let me give you an analogy. A few weeks ago, I was on the way to the doctor. I get these terrible recurring sinus infections. I'm a pretty healthy dude, but throughout the year, I get a couple sinus infections every year, and I've tried everything. I do the neti pod. I take allergy medicine. I've been to the ENT. I've been to the allergist. Somebody today is going to come up to me after service and give me one more thing to try. Okay, I'll try it, whatever, but I still get this, okay, is what it is. And so Here's the deal. When I get sick, I'm a guy. I tend to do the guy thing, okay? First of all, I ignore it, okay? Some of you, when you're driving your car and you get a check engine light on, you ignore it. Or your engine starts making a really funny noise, you just turn the music up louder, okay? You ignore it. That's what I tend to do. I ignore it. I'm getting the symptoms. I'm like, nope, I'm not even dealing with it. Then what I do is I start complaining. I start complaining about how sick I feel, how terrible I feel. And when Amy's had enough of it, she's like, go to the doctor. Go get help. Go do something, please. Right? Like, spare me. And I complain. And then the final stage, this is my cycle. It happens every time. The final stage is I just hold out. Like, I hold out right to the very end to where I can't stand anymore. I'm about to die. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the walk-in clinic. It's like, happens every time. Never fails. I don't know why I don't learn. But anyway, so I hate going to the doctor because I'm a guy. And so finally, I was so sick a couple weeks ago, had this terrible sinus infection. I'm like, I'm going to go to the doctor. So I'm on the way to the doctor and I'm feeling bad for myself. I had to rearrange my day to go to the doctor. I hate going and all this stuff. And you know what I begin to do? Like, the Holy Spirit just help me. I begin to practice gratitude. I say, God, I thank you today that I can even go to the doctor. God, I thank you that I have health care. I know there's so many people who don't even have health care. God, I thank you that I can go see a doctor today, that I have access to a doctor. I know there's poor people in this country and other countries who can't even go see a doctor. God, I thank you that I can go see the pharmacist today. I'm friends with the pharmacist, and they're going to give me a prescription, and I'm going to take some medicine. God, I thank you that I'm in a vehicle that I can drive and even get to the doctor. And do you know what happened? Like, joy began to well up in my soul, even though my head felt like it was about to explode. I put the music on the radio. I started singing. Yeah, don't judge me. If you ever see me going down the highway and I'm just singing, I might be having a Holy Spirit moment in my car, okay? So I'm just praising God. I'm thanking God. And what happened was an opportunity for complaining became an opportunity for gratitude. It became an opportunity for worship, and it changed everything. And can I tell you, I got in, I saw the physician's assistant, the PA. We started cutting up. We were laughing. There was probably people in the waiting room wondering what was happening because we were laughing so hard. I mean, it was contagious. I just came in there in a goofy mood. Before I know it, we were swapping jokes and just laughing, having the best time. And she gave me a beautiful prescription for a big old Z-pack of antibiotics. Come on, Jesus. And I took them and just destroyed that nasty infection I had. I was feeling so much better after the drugs. Thank you, Lord. All right, some of y'all are way too serious. But anyway, what I'm saying is that gratitude can change the way you're experiencing life. It can change your circumstances. It can take your heart from being bitter and complaining to being filled with joy. Now, let me give you this quote. Dr. Brené Brown, the best-selling author, famous researcher, she has a TED Talk on vulnerability. It's one of the top five most viewed TED Talks of all time. It's got like 30 million views. She said this, "There is no joy without gratitude. I will practice gratitude to access joy." Think about that. Those are powerful words. Because a lot of people think they'll be grateful once they're joyous. Like, once I finally get to this place in life where I'm happy, where I'm filled with joy, then I'll be grateful. But here's what Dr. Brown learned. She realized that you got to practice gratitude to access joy. And in fact, she's done research on this for like 15, 16 years. She's done research where she's interviewed people. She's particularly interested in vulnerability and people who live with authenticity, who have gone through stuff, but they've learned how to live a content and whole life. That's what her research is all about. Interesting stuff, right? And so she has a pretty big following online. But here's what she discovered after interviewing all these people over 15 years, thousands of people. She found the difference between happiness and joy. And it's interesting because this has been in the scripture already for 2,000 years, but research is backing this up. And here's what she found out based on her research from people, that people tended to connect happiness to a fleeting emotion that was based in circumstances. In other words, if circumstances were good, people were able to be happy. But she found that joy was connected to a worldview. And it was a spiritual gift that was actually rooted in the practice of gratitude. Can you believe that? The people of God have known this for generations. But now even research is showing this to be true. And so gratitude is powerful because it anchors your life in God. We talked about this last week, right? You got to build a foundation. You got to build down to build up. Gratitude anchors your life in God. It roots you in God. It makes you dependent on Him. You learn to trust Him in good times and in bad because the circumstances change, don't they? The good and the bad come. That's just how life goes. We go through seasons where there's good and bad, but yet God is constant. And so when you're grateful, your heart is turned to Him and you're anchored and you're rooted in Him. And that's where joy comes. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, famous scripture. He said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving." Did you notice that? "Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." This is a great scripture. We looked at this scripture a few weeks and months ago when we were in our Philippians series. And here's what Paul says. When you're going through something, and the Philippians were going through something. They were experiencing some serious persecution. He says, when you're going through something, don't worry about anything and pray about everything. And we tend to do the opposite, don't we? We worry about everything and we forget to pray. And he says, don't be anxious. Pray. Bring your request to God. You can literally petition God. He says, but you got to add something to it. And it's the secret sauce. It's the secret weapon. He says, you got to add to that thanksgiving. Don't just go to God with your needs, but go to him in thanksgiving. You know why that is? Here's why. Here's what happens a lot of times for us in prayer. A lot of times when we pray, we go to God with our worries and our needs and what's bothering us, and we worry out loud to God. All we do is worry out loud to him. It's no different than you picking up your phone and calling your girlfriend and telling her all about your bad day and all that's going on in your life. And you're just worrying out loud to God. And so when you're done praying, you don't have any more peace than you had before. And you wonder why. This prayer thing isn't working. And all you did was worry out loud to God. But see, here's what changes things. When you add thanksgiving to your prayers, you begin to activate your faith. You begin to tap into the character of God. You begin to say, God, even though I'm walking through some stuff right now, I'm going through some challenges, God, I'm hurting over here. I'm wondering where you are, but God, I'm going to give thanks because I'm reminded of your faithfulness, God. I'm reminded that you've always been present in my life. You're with me. You've never left me. God, you took me through something like this before, and God, I'm just going to give thanks, and I know you're going to bring me through this again. And what happens is your problems begin to shrink, and God gets bigger. And here's what the scripture says. Paul says, in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You know what kind of peace that is that passes all understanding? It means peace when it doesn't even make sense to have peace. That's what will happen in your life. You've got to add thanksgiving to your prayers in all circumstances. I want you to write this down. See, joy isn't the absence of problems. It's the presence of God's goodness. It's the presence of God's goodness. See, the peace of God is the fullness, the presence of God in your life. That's the biblical idea of the word peace. It's actually the word shalom. It's not just the absence of conflict. It's the presence of God's peace in your life. And do you know that that can show up in your life no matter what circumstances you're going through? It doesn't matter whether things are good or bad. It doesn't matter what's going you're going through. The peace of God, the fullness of God, the presence of God can invade your life. And so if you're waiting for your problems to go away to have joy, you might be waiting for a long time. Because as you look over the course of your life, how many times in your life can you think about when there was no problems at all? Maybe when you were a kid, you had nothing to do but play video games and eat junk food and your parents did everything for you. But for the most part, there's always some challenge you're working through, right? So if you're waiting for all the problems of your life to go away before you access joy, you might be waiting a long time. Notice this. Paul didn't say, be anxious for nothing, pray about everything, and all of a sudden you will find that your life becomes perfect. Wouldn't it be nice if it said that? It really would be, right? If I would have wrote it, it would have said that. But it didn't say that. Here's what Paul does say, though. He says, if you go to God with your needs, if you choose to be anxious about nothing, and you trust God with everything, and you petition your loving Heavenly Father, if you'll give thanks in the midst of that, here's what will come to you. All of your problems might not go away. Now, that can happen. Prayer is powerful. But even if your circumstances don't change, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Come on, you can take that to the bank. That's something you can hold on to. God, even if everything doesn't change, God, I'm believing that some things are going to change, but God, I know that your peace can invade my life no matter what the circumstances look like. So as we close today, the worship team's coming back in just a moment. We're going to sing a final song. If you're new to our church, this is what we do. We're going to sing a final song in just a moment, but let me remind you, we're talking about perspective. Your perspective will determine how you experience life. Just like these glasses, when I put them on my eyes, they correct my bad eyesight and they cause me to experience life in a more full way. I can get around. I can enjoy life. I can do stuff. We need to have this perception change. And let me give you the foundation of where you need to start. If you want to know where to start with all this, I gave you some practical things, but let me give you the foundation underlying all of this if you're a Christian. And that is you got to have Jesus-shaped gratitude. You got to have Jesus-shaped gratitude. What do I mean by that? Here's my prayer for you. My prayer is that you don't walk away from this series thinking that this is all about motivational thinking and positive thinking, and I'm going to look at my circumstances and tell myself that they're great even though they're bad. No, 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 no. That'll only get you so far. Our heart for you in this series is that your vision of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ will be enlarged. That your capacity to grasp the love of God. The scripture says it's hard for us to even conceive how deep and how wide and how great is the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. My prayer is that your view of life will be so shaped by the life, by the death of Jesus on the cross, by his resurrection, by this new life that he's given you, that you can never see things the same way. My prayer is that the capacity of your heart will be so stretched that it never goes back to the same size. What would it be like if you saw life through the lens of the resurrection? If you saw life through the lens of the cross? If you saw life through the lens of the grace and the goodness of a loving Heavenly Father who held nothing back for you when he gave his son? That's Jesus-shaped gratitude. C.S. Lewis famously said this. He said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else." Think about a sunset for a moment. You ever been up in an early morning when it's still dark and the sun begins to come up over the horizon and you can see more and more? What would it be like if our perception was so shaped by the love and the grace of God, by the person of Jesus Christ, that we began to see everything by it? What would that look like for you? Come on, have an honest moment with yourself this morning. What would it look like for you to embrace this truth with the help of the Holy Spirit? Like, how long are you going to hold on to this belief that a great life will happen one day when you get there? How long are you going to keep believing that if you could just get one more thing, one more relationship, make a little more money, buy this thing, that you'll finally be satisfied? How long are you going to hold on to that? But let me ask you to do something this morning that can change everything. Would you commit with me today? Let's commit together as a church and commit personally to focus more on Jesus, to trust in God's goodness, that he's a good and merciful God, and to be filled with gratitude every day. Would you commit with me this morning? We're going to pray in just a moment, a prayer of commitment. I want you to respond with me. I want you to pray. I want you to be able to mark it down. November 26, 2017, I made a shift. I made a change in my thinking that I'm going to hold on to gratitude to access joy. And my gratitude is going to be shaped by the very person and work of Jesus Christ. And through that, I'm going to access joy. And it doesn't matter what happens in my circumstances. It doesn't matter whether I'm on the hills, in the valleys, the things I can't control can come and go. But one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to hold on to Jesus. I'm going to hold on to God's promises. And as I do that, I'm going to cultivate a heart and an outlook and a perspective of gratitude and joy. Come on, I want to pray with you this morning. Stand with me as we pray together. We're going to sing a final song in just a moment and just worship. But before we do that, this is a moment just to examine our hearts, to pray and say, God, what are you speaking to me? What are you saying to me in this message? And we're going to make this commitment. Would you pray with me? Make it your own prayer today, but let's pray together. Father, we thank you today, God. God, we thank you that you are a loving and good God. As the scripture says, God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. And God, we just thank you today. Lord, today we are asking you to open our eyes. God, we're asking you to enlarge the capacity of our hearts, God, to see your goodness in our lives. God, we're asking that our vision and our perception would literally be shaped by the grace of Jesus Christ, that we can never see life the same way on the other side of what you've done for us in your Son. God, may it become the way we see things. God, we're asking for the help of your Holy Spirit to practice gratitude. God, I pray especially for those who are going through difficult times right now, those who are in the midst of a very dark season. God, I thank you that there's no place that your light can't reach. And God, I'm praying that today, with the help of your Holy Spirit, they'll just begin to see, Lord, you're present in their lives. You're working in their lives. God, you're with them. There's still 100 little blessings that maybe we didn't even see, but God, open our eyes to see it. Open our eyes to see it. God, I pray for the person in this place who feels far away from you, who feels like, God, a relationship with you seems far away. God, I pray that even right now they would pray with me, they would make a decision to be grateful for your Son, Jesus, that they would pray right now, Jesus, I receive you into my life. Come on, if that's you, maybe you need to pray that prayer. Jesus, I receive you into my life. I receive the blessings of God. I receive the work of the cross into my life. I choose to trust in you. I choose to follow you today, God. Father, I thank you that as we live this way, as we cultivate this kind of heart, that God, we're going to become grateful people and a grateful church. God, do it in each and every one of us in Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.